Oftentimes in Scripture, Jesus is trying to prepare his followers for what is about to come. He thinks that in telling them what is about to happen, whether it's his crucifixion, the end of the world, that they're going to be able to withstand it a lot better. That when these tribulations do come upon them, that they're aware of it and they're able to persevere through it. In the gospel, he talks about what would kind of happen at the end of the world. And they're around the temple, which is in Jerusalem. And he uses the example of that this temple will no longer be here for a way for him to describe how eventually this world will no longer be here. For the Jews or the people, the disciples of Jesus, the temple was the greatest, most incredible thing. If it still existed to this day, it would be the most incredible building that is on the world, on the planet. It was absolutely amazing how big it was, how beautiful it was. They said some of the foundation stones were up to 50 feet wide. This was absolutely gigantic. So for the followers of Jesus, for them to hear that this temple is going to be destroyed, that was very hard for them to understand. They said, no, this is way too big, this is way too beautiful, there's no way that's ever going to happen. And Jesus is saying, it is, it's going to happen. And it was destroyed around the year 90 AD by the Romans. But Jesus took the opportunity to use the analogy of the temple to talk about the end of the world. And it's actually kind of scary what he talks about. He says, you're not going to know who to trust. There's going to be some confusion. People are going to say certain things. You don't know if you're going to believe them, who to follow, what are you supposed to do? And he also says, you're going to go through some persecution because of my name. If you're a follower of me, there's going to be some sort of persecution that you're going to go through. So these disciples would obviously be worried. And Jesus is trying to prepare them for what is to happen. And he ends by saying, by your perseverance, you will save your lives. So he goes through these long tribulations and he says, the way in which you're going to be able to overcome this is your perseverance. It is through your perseverance that you're able to save your lives. I know we've all experienced learning something new. Maybe as a little kid learning to ride a bike. I remember trying to study a new language. It is really hard. And there's a long period of confusion, a long period of discouragement where you don't think that you're going to be able to overcome this. I remember as a little kid, my parents trying to teach me to ski and eventually snowboard. And I remember just sitting on the mountain crying, just thinking, I don't think I'm ever going to learn how to do this. And eventually, if you do persevere through that struggle, that confusion, that discouragement, if you persevere through it, you will have the freedom, right? Learning a new language is very difficult. But if you persevere through that confusion, eventually you will have the freedom and being able to speak this new language. Eventually, almost probably all of us had the freedom and being able to ride a bike. But it didn't come easy right away. It was hard, it was confusing. And most of the time, that discouragement is reason for us to give up, to kind of quit. I remember when I was younger, I played the guitar for 2 years, and it was really hard. And I was very discouraged, and I was very frustrated because I was confused. I didn't know how to do it, and I gave up. And it's one of my biggest regrets. And even now, to this day, I do not have the freedom of being able to play the guitar because I didn't persevere through that struggle, through that confusion. And Jesus talks about how throughout our lives, that's his point in saying at the very end that your perseverance will save your lives. That just in learning something new, the same is true for the spiritual life, the religious life, that there are temptations around us all the time. There's temptations to not to want to pray. There's temptations to not to act in a charitable manner. Whatever our temptation to sin is, we have these temptations. The temptation itself is not a sin. So Jesus is saying, when that happens, when you are confronted with that, you need to persevere through it. When we look at the end goal, right, learning to play the guitar very freely, learning to speak a new language, you know, growing in our relationship with God, you know, being more faithful, having our kids practice the faith, when we see these kind of goals that we have, they seem insurmountable. They seem incredibly difficult. until you break it down to, it's just one day, just one decision. God is inviting you to pray in this moment. Do you accept, yes or no? Are you able to persevere through that and grow in that relationship? And eventually, through these small decisions, what seems insurmountable is much more manageable. There was this young monk. So a monk, you know, is a brother who's in a monastery. And he was struggling with this temptation, whatever it was. And he went to pray, and he said, God, take this away from me. I do not want to suffer from this temptation to sin anymore. And God miraculously took it away from him. He was healed. He didn't have to suffer from that temptation anymore. And this young monk went to his abbot, who would have been the monk who's in charge of the entire monastery, and he was so excited, he told him, I'm healed. I don't have to suffer from this anymore. God miraculously gave this to me. And the abbot told him, go back into the chapel and get on your knees and pray that God gives it back to you. Because it is through the perseverance in that struggle in which you become holy. Oftentimes, God is putting that in your life for a reason. You know, if you're struggling with humility, God will give you opportunities to be humble. And it's through us acknowledging that, being able to persevere through it, in which we're actually able to become humble. If we never have those opportunities, we're never going to be able to grow in that particular way. But it has this persecution attached to it. And that's very discouraging. It's like, yeah, okay, I can, you know, maybe answer this call to prayer right now. But, you know, he talks about this terrible persecution, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to go through that. If you look at the lives of the saints, ones who went through some of the worst martyrdoms which you can imagine, the persecution to them was absolutely nothing. It's actually funny, if you read their lives, most of them, like, they didn't even know that they were going through it at the moment. Their persecution didn't bother them. Because the thought of denying Christ wasn't even an option for them. For them, the fear of leaving God was greater than the fear of any persecution that they're going to go through. So therefore, they were able to withstand whatever came their way. It's like a young man who goes into the military. I'm sure most of you guys know the stories of guys who are in special forces, kind of the training that they have to go through. They don't sleep, they don't eat, they're running, they're carrying stuff, they're wet, right? They push them to the absolute limit. And all they have to do is ring the bell. Then they can leave. Then all that, what seems like hardship, torture, is going to stop. All they have to do is ring the bell. And I've had the privilege of speaking to a couple young men who have gone through it. And they say, if the thought of ringing the bell is even in your mind, there's no way you're going to be able to last. If the thought of leaving is going to be on their mind, there's no way. He said, the only person that is able to go through this boot camp, this tough training, is the ones who ringing the bell isn't even an option. It's not even an option for them. The saint, the reason he's able to withstand the persecution, these temptations, is because leaving Christ is not even an option for them. It's not even there. So therefore, they're able to withstand whatever temptation comes their way. They have more fear of ringing that bell, of leaving Christ, than they do of any punishment that is coming their way. So what does that mean for us? That hopefully we're able to grow in that courage as well, that self-awareness, that leaving Christ will never be an option for us. Leaving Christ will never be an option for us. He talks about confusion, about who are we supposed to believe. Fortunately, I can say pretty confidently, that the Catholic Church is the Church of Jesus Christ. You need to follow what the Catholic Church teaches, and you will never be dissuaded. You will never be put on the wrong track. That if you stay Catholic, you will never be tempted to fall down a wrong street. But the temptation's always there. The temptation, you know, it's hard to pray. It's hard to act charitably. You know, I'm attracted to this sort of sin. You know, I don't necessarily want to go to Mass. You know, my priest isn't that interesting. These temptations will always be there. It doesn't matter where you go. They will always be there. But the perseverance through those temptations is what will make us holy. So as we go through our day, let us grow in self-knowledge of what is actually tempting us. What is it? Is it to be acting uncharitably, to not respond in prayer in certain areas? And to see that is through the accomplishment of these little actions, which the greater ones will be much more manageable. That it is truly our perseverance that we will save our lives. It is our perseverance in which we will come to love Christ better, in which we will become better Christians.